on your Thursday morning. Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan. Do the rest of this week, next week, and part of the week after that. Greg with a little holiday time. Ottawa Redblacks are in town tonight as we get going on a new Rough Riders season. Kickoff of the game set for 7 tonight with the Green Zone pregame show beginning at 5. Belton Johnson is on the line with me this morning. Of course, part of our Green Zone team covering the Riders. Grey Cup champ, barbecue connoisseur. Belton, good to chat with you again. Long time no talk.
Always. How's it going there, Kev?
Good. Very good. And here we go, buddy. Another season. Expectations are very high, Belton. Many of your Green Zone colleagues think the Riders finish first. Would you agree?
Oh, I got them going 13-5 and winning the whole thing, Kevin. I'm higher than the rest of them.
Wow. Wow, 13-5. So, I read into that, Belton, that this team has very few weaknesses.
And I think they have very few weaknesses, right, Kev? And the thing is, continuity. They, same guys from last year, I think they have, 9 all-star players returning. So, that with Coach Mace, it makes for a great ending for this team, I think. And I know people are worried about, maybe the O-line and everything. You got 2 guys down. But the one thing that team showed me last year is resiliency. All the injuries that they faced, they still did pretty well last year. And I think things will carry forward this season here.
How do you think they keep doing that with all the injuries that they have to the O-line? They keep finding ways to successfully plug it. What are they doing right?
And I think it's Coach Mace. He speaks, just the positive energy he has. And, the guys that they brought in, scouts or whatnot, it just find guys that can kind of plug and play and they buy into that system. And, again, what they have is working. And I'm just, I'm not looking at the preseason. I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into that. And just want to see what this team comes out looking like tonight here.
The Green Zone's Belton Johnson with me on the line this morning. A big question mark that I have, and I think a lot of fans do as well, is does Trevor Harris stay healthy?
Does he stay healthy? He's an older guy, but I think he can stay healthy as long as that O-line protects him. And the one thing Trevor Harris has done well in the past is he gets rid of the ball fast. I think the ball is in his hands usually, 3 seconds at the most, and it's gone. So if he could continue to do that, I think he will remain healthy.
Now, I guess you have 3 other quarterbacks to choose from if he goes down, too.
Oh, yeah. And they got Jake Mayer, too, right? Like, they got Jake Mayer. I think Jack Cohn, he looked good during the preseason. And, they got lots of weapons around the quarterback, right? You look at those receivers, Schaefer Baker, Emelis, Picton. You pick and choose your weapons there, right? So as long as he can get it out, let the playmakers do their job. Yeah.
Last question for you, Belton, this morning. What's the biggest hurdle for this Riders team? What's something that could hold them back?
Something that could hold them back? If it is anything, it might be injuries, right? But again, they've shown the resiliency to kind of plug and play. And we all know injuries happen, with all football teams. It's just a matter of time. But again, I just think very highly of this team, and I don't think nothing really can hold them back here.
We are all excited for a new season, Belton. Thanks for doing this, and we'll chat tomorrow.
Always. You have a good one there, Kev.
.52 on your Thursday morning, bringing you this morning the very latest 980 CJME special coverage of the devastating fires in northern Saskatchewan. We know the latest numbers from the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency show 400 structures have been lost so far. That number could be growing. The most damage thus far, Dénaire Beach. That's southwest of Creighton near the Manitoba border. One family had to watch its home burn through a doorbell camera. We heard from Cindy Pedwell there, as her father has video touring the damage.
It's just devastating. We're all still trying to contact each other and see how we're all doing.
Everything is basically gone. There is a washer and a dryer, a truck and a boat, but all of it left blackened, charred by the flames. All of Pedwell's cherished possessions now live as ash.
That stuff that when you hold it, that memory comes back, right? I feel like now those triggers won't be there for me anymore. This is a humongous fire. Our volunteer firemen are doing the best they can.
Now, Pedwell is feeling upset and wants to see the province bring in more fire crews.
You know, in the north, we're still important. I know that we're not the high population of people, but we still matter.
980 CJME carried the most recent wildfire update for you live. The safety agency, Steve Roberts, said this on getting more help.
We have to recognize that Manitoba and Alberta are experiencing the same thing. So as they also exhaust their resources and start looking for more, nationally, there's three agencies right now that are trying to get resources. If we were the only player in town, it would be easy to get an extra 100 firefighters or two extra water bombers or an extra helicopter.
And for the firefighters they do have working in the heat and smoke, they'll all get wellness and stress management programming during their time off.
We'll see some staff, typically in our program, that will work up to 12 days in a two-week period, but have a mandatory 2 days of rest, home and away from the fire, reconnect with their family, decompress, get some other things done that may be brewing in the background before they're redeployed. So they're not working constantly for that reason. Everybody needs a little bit of a break. And bringing in resources and moving them around from other jurisdiction is one of the things we can do, because we can relieve some of that stress on our staff that have been working long hours, doing a great job, but there is wear and tear over time.
Back to Dunair Beach, and an addictions treatment group is down a facility there. Pastor Danny McVeigh with the Adult and Teen Challenge.
There's nothing but ashes, and it was really devastating.
McVeigh says it's still too early to tell if the facility will be rebuilt.
So as you can imagine, the emotional trauma, the, you know, frustration, the anxiety, you know, couple that with their journey of finding freedom from addictions, it's a real emotional roller coaster.
Well, if you're hearing about these fires and want to know how to help, the government is encouraging you to donate to the Red Cross. The federal government is matching every dollar donated to the Red Cross's wildfire appeal this month, and the money will go to the group's efforts to help evacuees. The province has already given $15 million to the group for its work supporting the evacuees. It's been helping them find shelter, personal services, and as well getting them information. On your Thursday morning, we are joined on the line now by Mayor Chad Baczynski. Morning, Chad, and I know you were up late like me watching this last night.
McDavid, it's blocked! Scores! Leon Draisaitl, game one hero!
How about that Oilers win? That was one of the most entertaining games I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible, pretty electrifying, and what a goal by Draisaitl.
Oh, man, this is going to be a fantastic series. Already up 1-0 in that series, already way up from this point last year. So let's talk about sports and Oilers, and maybe perhaps in the future we could be watching these kinds of games at a new sports bar at Rio. Now, you guys had a special council meeting the other day, and it looks like things are going ahead with this now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Real and the Real board, they did a lot of work on this file and ultimately came to council for a final sign-off. And yeah, moving it forward, it's very exciting. It's a great opportunity to take a space that has some challenges right now and turn it into something pretty fantastic for our city.
What happened with YQR Distillery?
You know, Real would have kind of more details on that, but, you know, from council, our briefing has been is that they're in arrears, and so right now they're looking for this as an opportunity to move that to a better position with the current ownership being engaged in the process, and so we can try and turn something that's, you know, currently a more negative situation into a positive one.
I've seen some questions out there, Mayor, from people about why perhaps there wasn't a tender put out for this, a process for others to possibly compete to set up shop there. Did that not happen?
No, and our understanding is it didn't. And the reason, you know, that we went through was that ultimately it was a lease reassignment. So this wasn't a lease termination. This was somebody taking over the existing lease as well as the, you know, any current debt or otherwise associated with it. So that was kind of the reasoning behind it. It wasn't a clear-cut, open termination of the lease.
What's your confidence level this project actually finishes?
Highly confident. I mean, we've heard very clearly that, you know, Mr. Semple, who, you know, called into the meeting and spoke very passionately about this project, he's putting, you know, a lot of capital in front of this project and clearly has a large passion for the vision of this project. So I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to fill it with a bunch of Reginians and have some fun watching more Oilers games and Pats games and everything else in the future.
Mayor Chad Bieszynski on the line with me this morning. You were just in Ottawa last week. What were you doing there?
Yeah, they had the Federation of Canadian Municipalities annual conference there, as well as we had a big city mayor's caucus meeting during that time. So the meeting itself was especially great because we actually had federal ministers come speak to the group, where we were able to clarify and ask a lot of questions around some of the platform. Of course, the topic near and dear to my heart is infrastructure. And so being able to dig into some of the details around what that looks like, what kind of funding could Regina potentially expect and leverage to try and put towards our own community.
Anything about tariffs that came up?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was able to reconnect with Mayor Cantrell from New Orleans that I met when I was in Washington. You know, the silver lining is it sounds like there is momentum in the U.S. with our partners from, you know, Canada, the U.S. and Mexico, all rowing in the same direction and trying to really educate residents on what the real life impacts of tariffs are.
Now you're back home and a couple notable events happening tonight. Of course, the Riders home opener, Mosaic, the Festival of Cultures gets underway. Mayor, how many pavilions do you go to?
As many as I can.
Can you get all 15 in? That's a pretty big challenge.
I don't know if I'll get all 15. I'm not going to commit to that, but I definitely prioritize based on food. So that's usually if I'll always try and do that.
What's your go-to? What's your go-to food and drink?
I think most people could probably guess I always have to make a stop at the Ukrainian Pavilion.
Yes. So,
yeah, but definitely the Irish Pavilion is always a fun time as well. And yeah, there's many, many more that if I can make it to them, I absolutely will, because there's so much culture and food to see. It's just such a great time and such a pillar of our community.
Mayor, always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, Wiscana Pool officially opens for the season. It is open right now. In fact, it's only the lap pool for now. The leisure pool, water slides, and hot tub will open tomorrow. And then the city's other outdoor pools are set to open 1 week today. Mosaic is back for another year starting tonight. The cultural festival, 200,000 visitors throughout this year's events. That's what's expected. 15 pavilions in all. This morning, we're giving you a preview of some of them, what they have to offer, including the Hungarian Pavilion.
This year, we're highlighting the Hungarian traditions, and our program includes the bottle dance, where we dance with a bottle of wine on our head.
Thursday night, we've got the Prairie Gael Irish dancers. Friday night, we've got the Miarița Romanian dancers. And Saturday, we have the Polonia Polish Folk Dance Ensemble
at the Regina Hungarian Club.
In the meantime, that is on Makara, by the way, at REAL, at the International Trade Center, Philippine Pavilion.
Once you walk into the pavilion, you see the dancing just across the room, get the barbecue, oh, that smelled really good. And then we also have the mango shakes also coming back.
They also have a Kabayan meal deal where they'll have some rice-punted barbecue, lumpia egg rolls, and coleslaw all in one pack. And aside from that, they'll also have vendors available. And those vendors will be surrounded, I guess they're going to dim the lights this year, so you'll have that night market feel of the Philippines, and they'll be selling different clothing, souvenirs, maybe some Filipino pastries.
And by the way, if you heard my interview with Mayor Bieszynski earlier, he said one of his favorite pavilions is the Irish one. Well, he'll be crushed to learn there is no Irish pavilion this year. It was one of my favorites too, Mayor. The festival is on from tonight until Saturday night. You can get into the pavilions free tonight. All you need is your Rough Rider ticket to tonight's game. It is indeed the home opener against Ottawa. Riders quarterback Trevor Harris says, "You can feel the excitement building in the province."
Gives you chills a little bit thinking about, you know, when you're younger, when you know, the town's shut down, and it's a big deal for the people here. So we're really, really excited to play in front of the best fan base in Canada.
Now this season, one of the mottos for head coach Corey Mace's team is on the clock.
I think it's our time, man. We're on the clock. So what are we going to do with it? Everybody's hungry, but it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it every day.
Game time is set for 7 tonight with the Green Zone pregame show beginning at 5. And the Edmonton Oilers take game one of the Stanley Cup Final, 4-3 in overtime. The Oil had been down 3-1. They battled back, forced overtime. Connor McDavid set up Leon Draisaitl on the power play. Oiler fans in this province were watching. We were at a packed bar speaking to them.
It was amazing. It was awesome. Draisaitl had an awesome game. Knew that power play was going to kill them at the end there in Florida, so that was great.
That felt really good.
My confidence never wavered, so let's just put it at that.
And game two goes back tomorrow night in Edmonton. Finally, I want to leave you with this story because this is lucky to the next level. A man in Lethbridge just won the lottery for the third time in less than a year. David Serkin won $500,000 on a Lotto Max draw in August, $1 million on a Lotto 649 draw in November. And then just last month, he won another $1 million on Lotto 649. 3 wins in 9 months. That's not all. Previously, he won $250,000 on a lottery several years ago. He has to be the luckiest man on earth, literally. Literally. Guinness Book of World Records? Get this guy on the phone. The odds of winning the Lotto Max jackpot or Max Million Prize are both 1 in 33 million. Lotto Max, the Lotto 649, 1 in 14 million almost. Western Canada Lottery Corporation says, yes, the wins are all legitimate. CJME News Times, 827.